Jom den den de je jeomba da jeomba yanda ba zobe sanje rigba da shabso denba tewar jigden jeomba jeomon dewe kalo jowa lana meba lada menamje denba sanje jomde bejawa jaja doba la jaje lo chodo jabso cheo denba jom den den de je Da jomba yanda ba zobe sanje rigba da shabzo denba tewara shekba chekde. Kallo jurwa lana meba lada menamje denba sanje chomdende jawa shagya duba la. Chudu javzo cheo denba chomdende dijin sheba cha chomba yanda ba zobe sanje rigba da shabzo. Devara sheba jikden kemba jibu duwe kalo gyurwa lana meba lada menamje denba sanje chomdende pe. Shagya duba la cha zelo chudu javzo cheo. Gombo jizun jambe yangla cha ze lo Kangi lo zhu tivni tinte nyenda namda rab ze Chini tungun chishin seche niji tuka lekwa man ze Ganda sive tsura mare mendomo dungi ge ze we Chozo kun la puji taze yen la chuchu yangden song Chukdara che zho nyumu nyilu leye cha zho chuzi Mari mu se du nyi nyugu chi nyi chunzi reji Tuni taji sa ju tarzun yendun lunzo gyasi tuvi ugu Chuda chuda chuni kende talu meze Yangla du omo arabadzana de Omo arabadzana Omo arabadzana de Omo arabadzana de 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 Kiji jera vese je dalu timo mba rafse Kata tenju shunglu toba yi loju pobe nawa tse do su Juje medo jama jira linshi nyende kemba de sanje shingdu mikde buwa ayye Chogun namda jinla chubara shu Lame damba kenamanji chugu kala kenzi tintine Chidara tsambi dujan zima ala savje chuy Charva Aldo Su Mandala Ganaya Dayame Chudan Zoye Chonamala Janju Bardo Tane Gyazunche Tage Chujin Gibe Sonamanje Jola Penje San Jubarashu Chodan Zoye Chonamala Janju Bado Tane Gyabzo Tange Chujin Gebe Sonamange Dola Penje Sanje Jobara Sho Lada Lame Medame Anje Ombo Dan Jajin Laso Chujin Chola Chawa Shevana Sanje Sumba Rabdo Shishin Tewe Gyugyoba Deda jeje dambe chunye jinen de sheshe Namo laye jadan ludan nu jenge Rukun dadan miye kenamdan Dova kunje chanam chesam Tam jeje do dage chudun dos
Good morning. So how was your week?
same or different? Today I'm off the camera, so I can say. Okay. In terms of your spiritual practice, is it the same old?
Always better.
Okay, great.
That's the pleasure of spending a good bit of time speaking with Anthony. It's quite a treat for us to share some experiences. And kind of a rare opportunity to get a sense of progress from some time past to some time. You think about what are your when you're on the path, you have to think of where are milestones. You say, have I accomplished anything? Satisfying.
Okay, that's very nice to hear. Anyone?
I had more reminders of impermanence this last week. I went to places in the High Peaks Mountains in Colorado that I enjoyed in the past and places I hadn't been before. But the signs of aging are obvious. I used to just be very strong going up and down the trails. I had to work much, much harder, and I'm definitely older than I used to be. And I got those reminders frequently, which were good for me to think about. In particular, I enjoyed on the trail when some young guy running up or down the trail would pass me and say, "Good morning, sir." Yeah, that used to be me. So I did enjoy that. Reminder of the impermanence of things.
Yes.
You know, I have back issues, and you know, I did get some treatments, and so all of a sudden, you know, as I'm waiting, you know, through acupuncture, etc., all of a sudden I visualized the medicine Buddha, and he put his hand on my back, and I could clearly feel relief and the pain go away. And I thought, I need to do this more, rely on the Buddhas for help.
Okay, very good.
Well, mine is kind of a step backward in a way. I was reminded when, you know, we're on the Bodhisattva path, we can't get discouraged. So that's the thing. It's like you know, with more mindfulness, to become more aware of, you know, the faults. So there's been that kind of a week, and you know, so then all of a sudden it popped up in my mind, you know, the Shantideva's, you know, on discouragement and so on, reviewing that and, you know, getting some inspiration from that. And it's like, yeah, we're, you know, ordinary human beings. And you know, Shantideva says it over and over, this is difficult. And so keep going. You know,
yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this discouragement is part and parcel of this journey. So some days you feel very energetic, very encouraged, and you really want, you feel that, oh, you are doing so well. And then other times you feel that, no, I know I haven't, I'm still at the same, you know, place where I started. But just realizing that itself is a progress. So these are bound to happen. But then the important thing is to bounce back. This resilience, to have this resilience, to bounce back when you are faced with challenges. Even, I think you know about the story of Thousand Arm Cherisi, how Cherisi had this thousand arms and thousand eyes, isn't it? So Cherisi, of course,
dedicated his time. So we say his, but Chinese say her. Chen Ruisi in a female form. So anyway, yeah, Chen Ruisi has committed to helping sentient beings and worked very hard. And Chen Ruisi felt that he had liberated so many beings. And then after taking a rest, he looked down and saw that it was not even, it hasn't even caused a dent. Still numerous sentient beings suffering. So with that kind of discouragement and with that, you know, while I was almost giving up and then all that, Chen Ruisi's face is split up, broken into pieces. And then Amitabha, I think it's Amitayu or Amitabha now. I think yeah, Amitabha. Amitabha Buddha appeared and pieced it together. Said that don't get discouraged, I will be always with you to help. So that's why we have these thousand thousand yeah, this generosity aspect. So if at that level if they get discouraged, so of course it is bound to happen to us. So we shouldn't be discouraged. We should say, okay, good. These are bound to happen. And another point that can raise about impermanence, this is very, very important. Yeah, so impermanence. When Buddha first taught the teaching, Four Noble Truths, the first noble truth is the noble truth of suffering. When Buddha taught about the characteristics of the first noble truth, there are four things. What is that? Middhava. The first one is impermanence. Dunghe, that's the suffering. Mita, dunghe, tongwa, tameba. So the first one is the impermanence, because that is so, so important. We have all these problems, troubles, sufferings, all because of not realizing the impermanent nature of things. We always have this misconception that things do not change. Even though we say that, yeah, things change, but we don't have that at the conviction level. So all our plans are based on this notion of being permanent. We make plans. And our relationships, especially, if we are to realize that we may die any moment, we may not live to see tomorrow, the way we deal with other people will be completely different. Now you can imagine, you can see that people who are diagnosed with cancer, terminally ill, who are given this specific time period, look at them. The way they spend their time is completely different. So that's why it is very important to use all these experiences to gain insight or to get conviction that things are permanent. Why some of us work so hard? Why we chase after so many things? Material gains. That's also rooted in this misconception that it's permanent. Wealth, for instance, it's impermanent. You may be a billionaire today, but tomorrow you can be a pauper. Power, you can be a president today. Tomorrow you end up in jail. Yeah, there is possibility. Look at those, the Middle Eastern, what is that, Mugabe, all this. Yeah, all this. They even die. I think one of them,
yeah.
That is Muslim brothers. Yeah, that one. I think Mugabe or something. Was it?
Yeah, from Egypt, yes, yes.
Mm. So one time so powerful, can command whole thing. Everything is in his hand. Then the next day, you are in jail, being tortured. Nothing is permanent. So, it is very important to have that realization. If we have that realization, instead of chasing after all these meaningless things, we will be able to pursue something more meaningful, something that is very really beneficial, something that can not only help in this very life, but beyond that. So that's very important, the realization of this. So later we are going to include this meditation. Remember, we have these four kinds of the mindfulness meditation. So this time we will focus on the first one, the mindfulness of body. And we will see how you find that meditation. Yes.
So as you introduced the idea of suffering, I was reminded of a story I just saw.
Mm.
Two very well-known television characters, Anderson Cooper and Stephen Colbert. Anderson Cooper was on his show. I read the article about it. And the both of them have had quite a lot of suffering and loss in their lives. They were discussing it, and he says, so Anderson Cooper says to Colbert, "You told an interviewer that you have learned to, in your words, love the thing that I most wish had not happened."
Mm-hmm.
To love the thing that I most wish should not happen. But then he says, he went on to say, "What punishments of God are not gifts." So do you really believe that? And he says, "Yes, it's a gift to exist, and with existence comes suffering."
Mm-hmm.
It's always amazing to me when non-Buddhists express really strong Buddhist public venue like that. It's just like, yes.
Yeah, one of the advantages of benefits of realizing that existence is suffering is that when we are faced with challenges and difficulty, we are able we are able to face the challenges and the hardship easier, because we already have this acceptance that this is part and parcel of my existence. These are bound to happen. So yeah, you don't feel so down by that. So for many people, when things don't go their way, that's when they really give up. They really go into depression and all that. When you have this understanding that it is normal, so you don't complain. Yeah. We complain when we think that it is not normal. So when we understand that that is the normal thing, then it is easier to take a bone. So anyway, for the past few weeks, we have been talking about these six preparatory practices. And I have, again, I can repeatedly emphasize the importance. So this is like this. So we have learned, we have heard about the concept of impermanence, concept of suffering. But very rarely we get this real insight. We hear, nothing really sinks in. That could be because we lack all these merits. We lack we don't have enough virtue to really sink in. And also it could be because we have a lot of defilements, a lot of negativities that is blocking all that. Insights to go in, or insight to see the things clearly. So, if you are able to do these practices, then you will see that, just you just need one trigger, and suddenly, oh, you gain realization. Remember the story about Lama Tsongkhapa. He was having difficulty with this, the getting the final understanding of emptiness. He already have insight into emptiness, but the relationship between this interdependence, even though you can see or you have this perception into the emptiness, but the relationship between this interdependent, being interdependent and emptiness. So Lama Tsongkhapa had difficulty with that. And then remember, Lama Tsongkhapa was advised by Manjushri to go and do these practices, especially the practice of accumulation of merit and purification. And Lama Tsongkhapa left everything. At that time, the Buddhism was, especially the Gelug Buddhism, Gelug tradition was flourishing. And there were the monasteries are really into studying. And Lama Tsongkhapa has so many students. And Lama Tsongkhapa was very busy giving teachings and all that. But Lama Tsongkhapa left everything. And then only with the selected disciples, he went to this place called Völka and then did these practices. And I was told that still you can go and visit the place. Lama Tsongkhapa didn't have mandala set, but use stone, the flat stone, to do it, to do the mandala offering practice. And then, yeah, one night there was this vision or dream. And then, yeah, suddenly there was this realization. And that's when Lama Tsongkhapa composed the praise to Buddha for teaching the interdependent origin. Origination, is it?
Dependent origination.
So there was this story. You know, in Koppan, every November there is Lamrim course. And many Westerners go there for that 1 month course. And one time, Lama Subramji was teaching. And Lama Subramji was teaching Tibetan origination. So that class was going on and going on. And there was this one couple, must have been a new one. So you can see, you know, scowling and all this. And later she asked, why is Lama Subramji talking about Tibetan origination? Because of Rinpoche's accent. To her, instead of hearing it as dependent origination, she keeps hearing Tibetan origination. So I said, why is Rinpoche talking about Tibetan origin? So anyway, so that's when Lama Tsongkhapa had that realization. So it was kind of a spontaneous composition of the praise for Buddha, that he was so overwhelmed with faith and seeing the qualities. This is something really, really special. And is all the praise is all about teaching interdependent origination. Origination, yeah, or dependent arising. So, likewise, we are the follower. We are follower of Lama Tsongkhapa, so we should follow his step. So that's when we also should engage in these practices and then hope that we also gain little insights and realization. So we have talked about the first five. So now we are down to the last one, which is mandala offering. Remember, in the fifth of this preparatory practice is to generate merit field and then make seven limb offering prayers and mandala offering. So we have covered the seven limb prayers, but now it is about the mandala offering. So most of you do mandala offering. So I won't go into detail, but we'll just go through briefly. So the most important thing is that when we make mandala offering, we are imagining, we are not really offering anything we are not offering any physical things at the moment, but it's all imagination. So the cause of the imagination is our own virtue. Whatever virtue we have accumulated, we transform that. We imagine that in the form of this universe, and then make the offering to whoever you are offering. In this case, we are offering to the merit field, which at the center is your root guru in the form of Shakyamuni Buddha. So this mandala concept, the mandala is a mandala. I think you have heard this. This is a very common thing, mandala. It's a Sanskrit word. We call it mandala, mandala. Anyway, there are two syllables. Man is the mind, and mandala, they call it, is the taking the essence. So it actually means taking the... Man is mind, taking the essence of mind. So here, of course, when we talk about the tantric practice, we have another understanding. But here, when we offer mandala, in this context, so mandala is like the essence of essence of cultivating merit. This is the core practice to accumulate merit. So this is based on Buddhist cosmology. We have this metaphysics, you call it, how universe came into being. So first started with the mandala of wind, then water, and then there's a golden ground on that, Mount Meru and all that. So based on that, so when we start the mandala, so we have to visualize that when you recite the word, when you say the word, so there is a special placement as well. So you have these 37 types of heaps, and then each heap represents something. So we will try to go through this. So we have this one. I think this is not very clear. This is from APMT book. I just found this morning. So I think it is here explains where all these heaps go. And in the middle, we have the Mount Meru. And if you want to have a detail, there is this. You have three rings, and then it's all numbered here. It is quite clear. So some of these offerings comes higher. So that's why you have these rings too, you know. Some of the offerings on the ground level and then higher and goes higher. So that's why you have these three rings. So I thought we can go through with this. Do you have this, the mandala prayer? You don't have it here, isn't it? Anyway, I think it's okay. So I brought this Jorju text. There is this. Okay. I think I want to show you as well. So has anybody brought a mandala set? So normally what we do is we will just use this and tie here so that it doesn't. Yeah, maybe it's better for people to see. I can just close this down and put it here.
If you close the computer, then the display turns off. So you may want to leave it open just so we can see the display.
Okay. Okay. So mandala, it's up to you, whichever quality you want to buy. So if you have money, you can even buy the golden one, silver one, whatever. But ordinarily, these are not very expensive. This can do. Of course, if you can afford, the more expensive, the better. And these are what we call the tombu, the heaps. We make heaps. So you can, the best is if you can afford to have those precious stones. If not, semi-precious. And if not, just grains. So I am using this, what you call this, bean. What do you call this?
Beans?
Yeah, beans. Is there another word? Hard bean or types of bean?
Hardcore
beans? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's just beans. You can use grains. You can use, I think you have seen in barley seeds. Yeah, that's also good. And barley seeds, you have noticed that it is orange in color. They use the saffron to color it. Yeah. And then you can add in those precious stones, like here. Expensive ones. Diamonds and all that. Yeah, so you can add in. And for some people, if you have all that from precious stones, it becomes too heavy. But if you use these grains or seeds, it's much easier. So imagine this as the base, what is called the golden. You say, it says, here the mighty and powerful base of pure gold. Of course, when you first begin, you have to also visualize all that, the mandala of wind, then on top of it, mandala of, water, and then on top of that is the mandala of gold, pure gold, base of pure gold. So when you start, you always start with the left hand. You need to hold some grains in there. With that, you hold like this. Hold the base, and then we do this scrubbing or rubbing. So you do three times this way. It's kind of external, outward, more of like this. This, when you do this, this is to purify. So you are cleansing your negativities. Any negativities you're trying, you can imagine you are kind of rubbing that, that's cleaning that. So you can do that three times. Then once you are done, you can do it the other way around. So this time you can imagine you are receiving the blessings of the object of your And then it says, Om Vajra Bhume Ahum. We call it Om Benza Bhume Ahum. And then it says, here is the mighty and powerful base of pure gold. So once you have finished this, then you put just one heap. You just pour one heap. That's the, when you recite this, here is the mighty and pure base of pure gold. You put one heap. And then bring in the ring, first ring. then Omo Vajra Umbenzarike Ahum. Here is the diamond heart fence. So you can just imagine, just go for around that. Then in the center stands Meru, Meru, Mount Meru, the king of all mountains. So you make a heap at the center. So that's, imagine that that's the Mount Meru. Of course, in Abhidhamma, they have even given the size of all this, so we don't need that. We can just imagine that there is this Mount Meru. But of course, you have to imagine that actually that's your merit, but you are transforming that to Mount Meru, into Mount Meru, and then offering. So that's Mount Meru. Once that's done, it says, in the east, so we are offering this four continents and four or eight, you call it subcontinent? Yeah, subcontinent. So it says in the east, so there is a difference. So when you are offering this at the seven limb prayers, so seven limb prayers, remember, after the offerings that we offer, flower, all this, there's a worse. After that, we do mandala. So when you are doing at that time, so you have to take the is, because you are offering, so is has to be this side, where the merit field is. So when you say in the is, so it has to go here, that one, to the front. Yeah. No, here. You have the merit field here, so it is next to the merit field. But when you do, at the end, there is this making supplication, this special request. It precedes with the mandala offering. That time, you are receiving blessings. So it is said that you should take is to here as your side. So there's a difference. So I think it's okay. I think it's becoming... It confuses you. So let's just say east is here. You know, you front this side and merit field side. So merit field side is the east. So when you say in the east is the continent, how do you read that? Purva Deva, is it? We call it Sha Lupabo. So it's here, you make a heap here. And then in the south, Sha Lubabo, Lo Zambuling. So it's here. Next. You go clockwise. And then in the west, it says, in the west is the, where am I? In the east is the continent Purva Vidaha. In the south is the continent Jambudeva. In the west is the continent Apara Godaniya. In the north is the continent Uttara Kuru. So first east, west, north. No, east. It has to be, where? Shalubabu. So Zambulia. East, south, west, north. So it's at the four corners actually. Starting from here, and then you make the heap for four directions, at four sides. So that represents the four continents. So now we are making the heaps to represent the subcontinents. Subcontinents, there are two together. So in Tibetan we call it Shalodong Nubala Chandamin Ludan Lupa. So that is for the east. So it says right to left. So here, there are two, yeah? Here in the east is the, wait. In the west is the continent, north is the continent Ruga. Around the east, the subcontinent Diha and Vidyaha. So you put here. So imagine this is the main continent and then at site. So Zambule no Palanja chant a minya. Ludan Luba, so one hip here, one hip here. So you do this. Can you see? So Zambu number chanja Ludan Luba. Ludan Luba. Okay? Ludan Luba. And then go round. Then the right should be here. Ludan Luba. Mayab the Mayab Shen. And Yoden do Lamjon do. And Taminyan da Taminyan ge da. It is pouring at the side, two sides of the continent. So that becomes the eight subcontinents. And then we are offering this. In the east is the treasure mountain. So each continent has its own unique kind of treasure. So that's where in the east. So now back to the east. So as you fill this up, you can use your, you can add your tears if it is already full. So in the east we have Treasure Mountain, east, then yeah, west, no, east. Rinpoche, 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 Pasam Ye Shing, Deju Yu Pa, Mamu Pa Ye Lodo. It's the same, you can follow the same sequence, like the four continents. So first here, front, then here, here, here. And once you have done that, in the east is the Treasure Mountain, in the south the wish-granting tree, in the west the wish-granting cow, in the north the unplowed harvest. Here is the precious veil. So now we are offering these seven kisi nadu. No, this is the precious, the all these precious items. So you have the precious veil. So there also you can start from the east. And then, yeah, like this. Precious will, the precious jewel, the precious queen, the precious minister. Yeah, this is the seven precious. Do you call seven precious?
Eight.
Can there be eight? Kisinadu, we call it not the eight auspicious symbol. It's the seven. We call it Kisinadu. How do you translate that? Yeah, another set of seven special offerings. So there are seven. So you have the precious wheel, the precious jewel, the precious queen, the precious minister, the precious elephant, and the best of the horses, the precious general, and the great treasure vase. So seven precious items. So you can start with the east, west, like this, and then go at this, in the middle of this. As you recite, you pour that. That's done. And then the goddess, the offering goddesses. And here is the goddess of beauty. Yeah, you can just start with the east, and then yeah, you just pour wherever, you know, the space is. Another ring. Goddess of beauty, goddess of garland, goddess of song, goddess of dance, goddess of flowers, goddess of incense, goddess of light, goddess of perfume. So that's the offering goddesses. And then sun and moon. Sun and moon, so sun here is like the sun and moon. Sun at the east, and then moon to the west, east and west. Does it say here?
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Ah.
And then the other, the this victorious banner, and what was the other one?
A parasol,
umbrella. Here is the sun, here is the moon, so that's, we have already positioned east and west. And then here is the umbrella of all that is precious. Here is the banner of victory in all directions. So that is to these other two remaining directions. Here in the center are all the possessions precious to gods and humans. That's it. So you, in the middle, you imagine that you have all that, the precious, all that precious in the universe that is worthy of offering. You have here, and then where is our this one? This. So once you have done that, you bring this to your heart, next to your heart, and then offer. So with this, you can, after the recitation of this, you can recite the short mandala, Sai Shipyo Gichu Shimetotam, that, and then yeah, you can, followed by any kind of dedication prayer, and then Idam Guru Ranamandala. That's it. That's how you do this. So when you are doing numbers, you can do the short one. So you start with one of these, and then yeah, do the visualization. Once you finish, then you just do Sa Shi Pe Shi 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 Me Do Tam. You don't need the whole ring. Just use one ring, and then you just offer. As you recite, it doesn't have to fit your recitation. You can just Sa Shi Pe Shi 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 Me Do Tam Re Ra Lin Shin Yin De Yam Ba De San Je Shin La Mi De Bi Wai Do Gun Nam Da Shin La Jo Bra Sho Sa Shi Pe Shi 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 Me Do Tam Re Ra Lin Shin Yin De Yam Ba De Sanje jino mide biwa yi dugu namda jina joba jo idan guru dana mende la gana na ya daya mes. And then you start again. Always start with this, what do you call this, rubbing. Yeah, scrubbing. So that's the way to do mandala. Because I wanted to show you because we are going to do that during the retreat. We are going to do 2 days retreat at the end of this semester, Saturday and Sunday. Of course, it depends on how many people sign up. If there are two people, then we will see whether we should go ahead or not. But we will send out the notice. So there will be 3 sessions each day. We don't want to start too early because as we can, people don't want to wake up early. So we will start around 9:30, and then we will do 1 session before lunch, and then another 2 sessions in the afternoon. And I think by 5:30 you can go home. The next day, same, 3 sessions. So total there will be 6 sessions. So in each session we will focus on different areas. Let's say the first session we will focus on prostrations. We will do more prostrations, and then the second session we will focus on mandala offering, for instance. And then in another session we will focus on refuge practice. So this way every session is, the focus is different. So that's the plan. If there are enough numbers, we can do that. I think the center can provide lunch at least. Yeah. So we will send out and allow people time to sign up and plan.
Did you mention the dates?
Yeah, it's already, dates are already in there.
Okay.
I think it's just before the what was that one? The Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Oh. So it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Or is it the week, that week itself? It's like 26 or something. What is the last? You can check on the calendar.
What is the last? Didn't get loaded into the
website. No. Just your calendar.
Okay.
What is the last weekend of November?
November? The last weekend of November is the last full weekend is the 23rd and the 24th.
Yeah. So the 23rd and 24th is the weekend. The retreat. So now the final one is making special requests and supplication or supplication. So mandala, we offer that at two different times. So the first one is in between that seven limb prayers, and then at the end, before you make special requests, you offer mandala. So that is, if we want to make a request in our conventional world, if we want to ask for a favor, we have to give something. And then we say, you give the, you offer your gift and then make the request. So likewise, we are offering this mandala first, and then we are making the request. So what is the request? Well, first of all, who are we making the request to? So we are making the request to the merit field. So what are we requesting for? We are asking for three things. So first one is to please bless all living beings, my mothers and myself, so that we may quickly stop all flawed states of mind, beginning with not respecting the teacher and ending with conceiving signs of true existence in two kinds of the self. So when we study Lamrim, so the stages of path begins from relying on your guru properly. So that is the beginning of the practice, Lamrim practice. And then it ends with the emptiness, the special insight. Remember Lamrim Chemo, the final part is all about emptiness, the insight, gaining insight. So it is in another words, it's like the method section and the wisdom section. So in order to achieve enlightenment, you need the union of method and wisdom. So it's saying that requesting to the merit field to bless us so that we are able to prevent all these flawed state of mind, starting with not respecting the one's guru. So we always say that guru is the source or the foundation of good qualities. So if you have this, if you do that properly, then we can expect for all those other subsequent realizations to come by. So there are stories that those practitioners, they really take a long time to have this realization, the first stage of guru practice, guru yoga practice. Once you cross that hurdle, it says that it's so easy. Of course, I cannot tell from my own experience, but those who have gone through, they say that this is the hardest part. Once you are able to cross that hurdle, the rest of all these stages comes so easily. So that's why it says beginning with, there are many flawed states of minds, but beginning with not respecting the teacher and ending with conceiving signs of true existence. So that is one. So it's like two-pronged. Yes, please.
I can just offer testament to that observation that in the West, I think it's clear that the biggest challenge is the whole idea of the guru, the guru, and the guru. Once that, you get over that, as you say, but it's just a major obstacle for people. I want to do everything. They have these incredible imaginations of how, being the thumb of somebody.
Yes, in the West, that's the very, gross hurdle.
Yeah.
But in like Tibetan or even the practitioners who are able to cross that gross level, but even though you take somebody as guru and you understand all this, but there's still so many flaws, so many mistakes that we make in terms of treating our teacher. So these hinders our development. Mm. So that's the one prong part, to be able to prevent all these flawed minds. And then on the other side, please bless us so that we may easily produce all flawless states of mind, beginning with respecting the teachers and ending with knowing the reality of selfness. So this is like two prong. First, you are requesting to be able to prevent all this negative state of minds, and then to be able to develop the positive sets of minds, sets of mind. And finally, when we do all this practice, there's always obstacles, there's always hindrance, there's always obscurations. So the final, the third request is, please bless to quell all inner and outer obstacles. So if you make these requests wholeheartedly, I think the blessings that you receive will also be powerful, meaningful. But if it just becomes a lip service, then of course the result will be also similar to that. So that concludes our this six preparatory practices. So now we have the tools. So if any of you feels that you don't know, you know, how to start your practice, you don't know what I should be doing as a practice, you know, this is a good way to start. In fact, this is actually a very comprehensive practice. These six preparatory practices, it includes everything, very comprehensive. And you can opt to focus on different areas. So 1 week, for instance, you can focus on refuge practice and spend more time on the refuge section, either doing meditation or recitation with the visualization. And then on some other weeks, you can focus on purification practice. Or in other weeks, you can focus on prostrations. So this is a very good practice to begin with. And especially when you recite these the seven limb prayers. So really have some sense, some feeling. So not just, you know, reciting. We do that all the time. I do that all the time. We recite and we don't even know how it finished. We are already at the last sentence. We have completely, you know, our mind is already distracted. We finish reading that. Yes, I finished doing, you know, saying this seven limb prayers, but our heart was not there. Our mind was not there. So remember we talked about, you know, each stanza, there are visualizations involved. For example, the first, or the prostrations, when it comes to prostrations, it is to imagine ourselves in multiple form, multiple numbers. And then, imagine that we are prostrating all that duplicates of ours, offering the prostrations. And then when we talk about the supplication to Buddha's speech, offering prostrations through speech, we have to imagine ourselves, how shall I put it? There are numbers of us. We first of kind of imagine there are thousands and millions of us, ourselves, and then they're all singing the praise of all that object of refuge. So these are how we should be doing, rather than, you know, just recite, okay, finish, done. Mm. So that's the end. What time is it? Okay, we are right on time. So that's end of the this one. And then, yeah, after break, we will do a short meditation. Yep. Shall we switch off one of the lights? Maybe that one as well. But don't fall asleep. Yes, TV you can switch it off. Yeah, we don't need that. Okay. So let me just see my watch. Oh, we don't have much time. Okay, let's begin. Okay, let's begin our meditation. So you all know about the posture now. So let's adopt a very comfortable posture. And then let's take 3 deep, deliberate breaths. On the final deep breath, draw in all your attention into this moment and release the breath slowly, feeling yourself drop into your body and into the present moment. Now bring your attention to the present moment by focusing on your breath. Choose a pace of breathing that is neither shallow nor deep, just natural. Now choose a focal point to help anchor your awareness of the sensation of your breathing. Notice where you feel your breath in your body most prominently. It could be the tips of your nostrils where you feel subtle sensation as you breathe in and out, or your belly where you feel the sensation of its rising and falling as you breathe. Once you have the focal point, just breathe in and out while resting your mind on that focal point. There is no need to think about your breath nor control it. Simply allow your body to breathe naturally at its own pace and experience each incoming and outgoing breath. Now bring your attention to your body as a whole. Separate your observation of the body from the bodily feelings. At this beginning stage, focus on the body itself, not the bodily sensations, example, not whether you are feeling warm or whether you are feeling comfortable. Just focus on the whole physical body, what it is made up of. Observe where the body is now seated. Observe the body having various limbs and parts. Now gradually focus on the individual parts of the body, starting with the head. Observe the thousands of strands of hair on your head. Next, observe the skull and how it is made up of bone particles. These particles are made of cells and smaller particles called atoms, which are made up of smaller particles called protons, neutrons, and electrons that possess energy and movement. They are constantly undergoing arising, change, decay, arising, and so forth. Below the skull is the brain that is made up of soft tissues, liquid, and nerves, and these are also made up of cells and atoms, and similarly undergoing a process of arising, change, decay. Moving downwards to your eyes, the eye sockets, the eyeball, they too appear solid, but are a collection of subtly vibrating atoms. Move down to the throat and its parts. There is a mixture of solid, liquid, and air in the throat. That too is made up of smaller parts and dynamic atoms. Move down to the chest with its ribs and bones. Bones appear to be hard and thus solid, but again, bone particles and atoms in quiet vibration and change. In this same manner, direct your attention to the rest of your body and organs all the way to the tips of your toes. All are made up of smaller parts of atoms that are undergoing arising, changing, and decay. Reflect how the body as the house or vessel of the mind appears solid and inherently existing, but is in fact a composition of parts coming together, cooperating together to enable the body to function, and is in a constant state of arising, change, and decay. Reflect on how the parts are interdependent and impermanent. Remain in that awareness for as long as you can. You can slowly open your eyes. And you can take a 3 deep breaths if you need to. So there was the meditation. We will do longer periods next time. So I remembered a stanza which says, what is the one? Memang sangshin pangba telang ne. Nawa tsuwar kyuwe menme tongs. Menbe ma le mengi ma nye de nebara nye kene nyeba yins. So he's saying that if someone who is sick and then that person goes to see a doctor and he or she was given really good quality medicines, and if the person doesn't take the pill, there won't be any improvement, there won't be recovery. So the reason relapse. Yeah, anyway, the person, it is not the medicine's fault that the person didn't recover. It is also not the fault of the doctors that person didn't recover. It is, the person is to be blamed for that. That's what it is saying. So likewise, we are like that. We are a sick person. We are suffering from this chronic illness. But Lord Buddha has diagnosed our sickness and already prescribed medicines. So it is up to us whether we want to recover or we want to suffer more. So we already have the tools now, even just those 6 preparatory practices. That's already a powerful tools or medicine. So the conclusion is that we need to put them into practice. So Buddha says that ngegi kela tarbe lamdengi tabarangla rale shebrakis, which literally means that I have shown you the path. Whether you achieve liberation or not is up to you. It's dependent on your practice. That's what Buddha said. So, obviously, we all have this wish to be free. That's why we are coming to classes. So, it's time to put all this into practice. And then see. Yeah. So, all the best. And this is going to be our last class here. Next week, we don't know where.
Yet.
So, Ken will inform, isn't it? Email everybody. Or we can even go to a park and have picnic there. Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so
there's squirrels there, you like squirrels.
We can learn lots from squirrel. So I'll leave it to Ken to let us know whether there is class, going to be class. If so, where? Yeah.
We hope to be able to resolve this evening.
Okay. So thank you very much, Anthony, for letting us use your house for all those years. Thank you very much. Let's do the prayers.
Beginning with the short mandala offering on page 4 and then the concluding prayers beginning on page 6.
Joje medo tamare ravalin she nyende jambande sanje shindu migden buwayi dogun namda jen la jabara jo rana mandala gane yadaya me Rimboje, Maje, Banama, Jeorje, Jeva, Nyamba, Mevaya, Kone, Kondo, Pevarajo, Koze, Rabdenje, Namga, Chile, Shojuru, Jevada, Lozan, Dembe, Dreme, Zazumange, Drove, Meze, Dado, Nejoroje, Korve shenga mzang pendang dewa malu jongwe ne Jere se wang tenzin jazo ye Shabe sithe bado tenjoro je Chedara kemba dang kundo sambo tenyang dejen Teda gwenje jesu talob je Gyewa deda tamje rabdo ngo Gyawa damje je ngawa kala chodo ngawa Daje jewe zawa degwen dya Sambo cheche rabdo ngawara je